This is All Things Considered on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. On April 20th, 1999, Andy McDonald was 17 years old. He was taking a math test at Columbine High School in Colorado when he and his fellow students heard gunshots. He says they were so loud, the walls seemed to vibrate. Then the fire alarm went off, and he and some of his classmates left the school. He was not harmed, but in less than an hour, two students killed more than a dozen of their classmates and a teacher, including themselves, and wounded several others. The massacre shocked the country and left people like Andy McDonald with horrific memories. McDonald now lives in Plymouth, New Hampshire, where he teaches social studies to 7th and 8th graders. I met with McDonald recently and started our conversation by asking him what goes through his mind when he hears about shootings like the recent one in Parkland, Florida.
Not again. This time was a little bit different. And I'm not sure what it was. When these things happen, you know, I usually get fairly sad and kind of go through those sets of emotions. But I was really angry after this one. And that's just not who I am. It's not my nature to be that way. So it was tough. And I couldn't quite figure out for a long time why I was so angry. And I'm still kind of working through it. But it's you know, it's one of those things. I'm still trying to figure out how to make sense of it all.
I imagine it's a process that takes some time.
Yeah. You know, I'd always thought that after Newtown, something would be done. You know, from where I sit, there's a lot of different things I think that need to happen in order for some meaningful change to happen. So,
what are those things?
I don't understand the need for semi-automatic rifles. Ever since Columbine, I've been a big proponent of universal background checks. You know, I'm not one of those people that thinks the Second Amendment needs to go away at the same time. You can do those things and still be compatible within that realm. And I know, you know, there are people out there that say bad people that want to do damage will do damage and do those. And I understand that. But at the same time, I still feel like you have to at least take some steps to prevent that. You know, it's you can't just do nothing. And I think that's where part of my frustration was coming from. When it came to what happened in Parkland.
Do your students ever ask you about what happened at Columbine? And if so, what do they ask and what do you say?
They do. So every other year we bring a program called Rachel's Challenge to our school. It's founded by the family of Rachel Scott, who was the first person killed at Columbine, who was a friend of mine. She was my homecoming date that year. And so it's not an anti-bullying campaign. It's not anything like that. It's basically, how can we be a more kind and a more really compassion is really it comes down to what, how can we be more compassionate as individuals? And so through my connection at Columbine and my connection with the program, I used to work for them. You know, I share my experiences with the kids and just, you know, tell them that, you know, how you treat each other is really important because you never know when that can happen. And I don't have those conversations every day, but you know, it comes up when those moments come up. And so
after Parkland, the debate that seems to happen every time happened once more, where there are people who want an extreme form of gun control, and then there the other side is that people, groups like the NRA, wants to make sure that people like you, teachers, are armed. What do you think of that proposal?
It's not something that jumps out as like, I think that's a good idea. I haven't explored enough. For me personally, I don't think it would be something that I would be interested in. I think it's hard enough for teachers to be in a situation like that. And then police officers have a hard enough time determining who a bad guy is in a situation like that. And that's their job. I think to say that it can be done with just a certain number of hours of training, I don't think it's realistic. So, I mean, that's kind of where I come down on it.
What do you think when you see on television or hear on the radio the high school students in Parkland speaking out about their political views after what happened last month?
I mean, I think it's something that they're absolutely entitled to. My concern, just having been through those experiences, I really hope that is part of their healing process one way or the other, or that they're getting support somehow. I just hope that they have time to process what's actually happened, because it's something that's going to live with them and stay with them for the rest of their lives. And it's something that for the rest of their lives, they'll be identified with, you know. For a long time, I was always the Columbine kid. And it's not a place anymore. It's an event. It's not a community. It's a tragedy. Their experiences together will bring them closer as a result of that. But it's a tough road. And I just really hope that, you know, they're getting the emotional help that they need so that they can begin to kind of deal with what's going to be their new normal.
What advice would you give to them?
Make sure that you're talking with people, that if you are struggling, that you are seeking, you know, just talk. I mean, that's the biggest thing, is making sure that it's not staying inside, that you have the ability to talk with people, to process. For me, it was doing some of the same things that a lot of these students are doing, which is traveling and speaking about their experiences. That for me was very helpful through Crime Stoppers and through Rachel's Challenge. I had that opportunity. So that would be the biggest thing, is make sure that they're taking care of themselves, just so that they can begin to adapt with what life is going forward.
Well, Andy, thank you very much for speaking with me about this.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.